Today? As you know, we live in a fallen, cursed, messed up world, and there's a lot of messages being shoved in our face, and some are good and some aren't good. And you know, you hear the messages, you know, go get what you can for you, or whatever makes you happy, do whatever makes you happy. You have the motivational speakers out there. But there's one message above all that needs to be heard. More than anything else, people need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. They need to hear the word of God. And that is what needs to be preached. And that is what this section is about. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you don't mind, we're going to start with a word of prayer and jump into it. Lord, that we can say it is well with my soul. And I think about the man who wrote that and what he had lost, losing his children at sea and being able to pen those words. Lord, that is only through peace in you. You're the only one that can give us a peace, a strength like that. I pray that you continue to pour your presence upon this place. I pray that you would move through the power of your Holy Spirit in a powerful way, that when we leave here, it's not just go back to life as normal, but we're changed, not because of anything that we've done, but because of what you've done. I pray, Lord, you would open your word. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray again that we'd keep it in context and rightly divide it, and we would allow it to penetrate our lives the way that you desire. Allow it to change us. Again, Lord, I ask for your forgiveness of our sins and for your protection upon us and your blessing, our Lord and our King. We ask it in Jesus' name. May we be humble and reverent before you. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be in verses 1 and 2 in chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Last week what we've been talking about is this: godlessness in the last days in chapter 3. And some of how things are going to look. And we talked about how it looks similar to that already, doesn't it? I mean, that's the days that we're living in. We talked about the last days being from the first coming of Christ to the second coming of Christ. And we talked about Paul's example and the example that he set. And then last week, 14 through 17, we talked about this. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those from whom you've learned it, right? Continue on in what you've learned. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, right? He was taught the Word, and he's saying continue on in the Word. When you're facing uncertainty and there's deception and there's lies, you have to be solid in the truth. You have to immerse yourself in the truth, and that's what he's telling them to do. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It can give them wisdom. Wisdom is from God. And that they could have salvation, and salvation is through Christ. And the Bible shows us that. It tells us that. It points it that way very clearly, that the salvation is only through Jesus. And then in verse 16, he says this. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is inspired. It's from Him. It's different than any other book because God wrote this one. A bunch of different people over a long period of time, different places, and it all comes together because he wrote it. He was the author. He inspired it. And we said it's not just the ideas behind it. It's the words. It's the phrases. It's the sentences. He wrote it. All Scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We can be thoroughly equipped, and it's by growing in His Word. Amen? It helps equip us to get us ready to face the things we have to face, but also to be used by Him. And that brings us to where we're going to pick up today. He has given a lot of charges to Timothy, especially if you use the King James Version. There's been multiple charges through 1 and 2 Timothy that he's given him, charging him to do things, things that he was called to do, listen to this one. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, in their presence, they're watching, they're seeing this, charge, but they're seeing what he is called to do. They're watching. He's saying, in their presence, as they watch, I'm giving you this charge. But I believe that also is, as they watch, you need to continue to do what I'm telling you to do. You need to preach the word. That's where we're headed. So in their presence, as God himself, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as they watch, as a part of this, who will judge the living and the dead. So we talked about being in their presence, but they also judge. I believe in his grace and in his forgiveness. Amen? He gives us grace. He gives us forgiveness through the blood of Christ, and it is sufficient, but we're also accountable. There is a judgment. And he said, because of his presence and his watching and of this coming judgment, he's setting this up. And in the view of his appearing, he's coming again. I guarantee it. Christ is coming again. So he says, they're watching. We're setting this charge up in their presence as they watch, as they're a part of this, knowing that there is a coming judgment. Praise God for grace and forgiveness. But knowing that there's a coming judgment and knowing that he is coming again and could be at any time, any second, we need to be ready. View of his appearing and his kingdom. He said, his appearing's coming, his kingdom's coming. The kingdom that we're in now is temporary. This is temporary, but he said the true kingdom's coming. Christ is coming. His kingdom's coming. We need to be ready, and we need to help people get ready. So when you put that together, he's like, look, he is watching. He's in the midst of this, in his presence. He is going to judge because there's a coming judgment, the living and the dead. He's going to be coming soon. In the view of his appearance, in his coming kingdom, I'm going to give you this charge. All that stuff added together, I'm giving you this charge. This charge is of utmost importance, if you haven't picked that up yet. I give you this charge. High importance, utmost importance. This is it. This is what this section is about. Here we go. You ready? Preach the word. That's what he's setting the stage for. That's the charge. That's what he's saying. He's saying, preach the word. According to the preacher's outline, the picture, when you talk about preach, it's of a minister standing before people distinguished and with authority from the Lord. It's as a herald. See, an ambassador, some of them say it's as an ambassador going with his authority, but the difference is that the preacher doesn't have the right to negotiate like an ambassador would. It's more like a herald. A herald proclaims what they're told to proclaim. So it'd be the herald going out in front of the army to proclaim to the army the orders of the king. And listen, you got to catch this. It's got to be the king's message. It is never the herald's message. It was never intended to be the herald's message. It's got to be what the king says, not what the herald thinks. That's where we're coming to. So he's saying, go be the herald of what the king says. The preacher's outline also said, I think it's great, it said, it should be the pastor's obsession, the burning in his soul to preach. It is not our own ideas. It should never be the pastor's own ideas or being a motivational speaker. It's not about psychology and sociology. It's not about self-image. It's not just to go preach. He didn't say just go preach. It's not what he said. He didn't say, just go make religious religious speeches. That's not what he said. Don't go make some good religious speeches. That's not what he said. He didn't say, just go preach. He said, go preach the word. It's not about entertainment. It's not just to make people happy. It's not just to fill the pews. It is not about making money. I want to read, if you don't mind. The word preach is a command to be obeyed at once. It is a sharp command, as in a military language. The preacher must present not book reviews, not politics, not economics, not current topics of the day, not philosophy of life denying the Bible, and based on unproven theories of science, but the word. The preacher as a herald cannot choose his message. He is given a message to proclaim by his sovereign. If he will not proclaim that, let him step down from his exalted position. I believe we are called to help apply it because it applies. It is always relevant because it's his word. It is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. You know, I think sometimes what's happened, and listen, I've done this before, especially when I was first starting. You got to be really careful when you want to talk about something and you go try to find scripture to fit that. That can get you in scary places because it's got to be in context. It shouldn't be, I'm going to pull out this scripture because this is a topic I want to talk about. I'm going to pull out this scripture. I'll read over the scripture. We'll go away from that, and I'm going to talk about what I want to for the next 20 minutes, and we'll call it a sermon because I read, 30 seconds of scripture beforehand. Preaching should be about the word. It should be, again, it's exegesis. It's pulling from the word. It should be about what he says. Not throwing it in there because it sounds good, and then I'm going to go away from it and talk about the topics I want to. James 3:1, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. When people preach, if they're using anything but the Word of God, it's like trying to play baseball with a pitcher that can throw the ball 100 miles an hour and not using a bat but trying to use a toothpick. So put yourself up there trying to hit the ball at 100 miles an hour with a toothpick instead of a bat. It's like trying to mow 70 acres of hay with a pair of scissors. You're not competent because you're using the wrong tool. Get a pair of scissors, mow your lawn, tell me how it works. You've got to use the right tool. It's his word. Anything else is not sufficient. I don't care how many goosebumps it gives you. I don't care how emotional they can make you. I don't care how eloquent they are. I don't care how articulate they are. It's about what they do with his word. He said, preach the word. 3:16 says, all scripture is God breathed. It's his message. It's what he wants us to know about him, about his love and his salvation, about the good news, about the coming judgment. I believe that it's supposed to be preached courageously and passionately and powerfully through the power of the Holy Spirit. Preach the word. He goes on to say, be prepared in season and out of season. When I read that, I think of 1 Peter 3:15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Be ready. Be ready. The whole church is to be ready while we have this hope. Because you know Jesus. All of us are supposed to be ready. But he said, Timothy, you be prepared in season and out of season. When it's easy, when it's not easy. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient. When it's tough, preach it. It means to be insistent, from what I understand, to take a stand, to stand up, to stick to it, no matter what. You stand by it. You stick to the word. Whether it's cool and popular or not, you preach the word. To be ready at all times. Again, when there's opportunity, you preach it, you teach it. All times. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. I believe that that's why it's so important for people to know the word, to study the word. I believe memorization is great. I'm not saying I always do the best at it, but I believe it's important. Because it's there. You're prepared. It's there. Correct. Maybe if you have your King James open, it reprove. It's to stir a person to prove himself. It's to put under conviction. It's to lead a person to see their sin, to feel their guilt of it, to show them they're a sinner so that they can confess and repent and turn to the Savior. That's what we're called to do, right? Repent of our sin and turn to the Savior. Confess it, repent of it, and turn to Him. To see our need for Him. To correct, to rebuke. The word here, it's a very strong word. It's a very sharp word to rebuke. But as Harold Martin says, he says, but with the context of love, always within the context of love. You correct and rebuke in the context of love, not because you think you're better, not because you want to beat somebody down, not because you want to use it as a sledgehammer upon their head, because you love them enough, you want to help them. And if they can see that you love them, they're going to take it a lot better than if they think you're just a hypocrite and wanting to beat them down to build yourself up. It's in the context of love. We correct and we rebuke and encourage. Exhort, to encourage, to beseech, to comfort, to help. Wiersbe says this. I like it. You've heard me say it before, but he should comfort the comfortable and, or he should afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted, right? That's what we're called to do. Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And he says, listen to what he says. He says, if there is conviction but no remedy, we add to people's burdens, right? If you convict them, but you don't give them the cure, you're just adding to their problems. And if we encourage those who ought to be rebuked, we're assisting them to sin, right? If you continue to condone their sin, you're continuing to help them sin. You're justifying it. We're not supposed to do those things. So if we convict, if there is conviction but no remedy, we add to people's burdens. If we encourage those who ought to be rebuked, we assist them in sin. Biblical preaching must be balanced. And the only way to keep it balanced is to keep it in context and preach the word. Preach the word. Then he says, and careful instruction. Why would he say careful instruction? So, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience. I skipped that. Let me back up. Great patience. Why would you need great patience? Because you're dealing with people. And they're dealing with you. Right? Patience. You continue to encourage them and continue on with them. You're helping them. You're helping people through life. You're living life with people. That's what we're called to do. Help each other along as the church, as the body, continuing on helping one another through life, encouraging one another through the word. Right? With careful instruction. When he says this, I don't think it's just a flippant thing that you're like, oh, this sounds good to me. Well, let's just go with this. He says careful instruction. You need to be sure of what you're teaching people. And if it's just off of your top of your head or what sounds warm and fuzzy to you, it's a scary place to be. It's got to be based in something more solid because our emotions can be swayed. We know that. We talk about that. So I believe when he says in careful instruction, I believe it comes back to based in the Word. Based in the Word. I believe this charge was to Timothy, but I believe it also applies to all preachers and teachers. And I believe it applies to the church, because if you allow somebody to preach in your church that's not preaching the Word, I believe you're somewhat responsible for it. And if God moves you to another church, because I believe I want you to be where God wants you to be. And yes, I'm biased and I would love for you to be here. But if he moves you to another place, this is what I ask. You make sure that they preach the Word. I don't care how cool things look, how fun it is, how entertaining it is. You make sure that they preach the Word. Whether it's right here in Ohio or you get moved to Montana or California, you find a church that's preaching the Word. Because if not, they're not equipping you. They're just entertaining you. It is not just a social gathering. We're called to be the body. And I believe the church leaders are called to build the body. And the way to build a body is through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word. I know we've been hammering on this stuff for a long time, but this is exactly what God, through Paul, is teaching Timothy because he's living in godless days. Guess what, church? So are we. So are we. So he charged him. I believe God watches. I believe he knows. I believe Jesus is coming. I believe his kingdom is coming. And I believe that we are supposed to be growing in his Word. Church, grow in the Word. Father God, I pray that we'd be that church. I pray we would do it for you and your glory and your kingdom. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We're going to take communion. I'll explain that real quick as the deacons come up. Communion is for all believers. Anybody who's accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior is welcome to take communion. So if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I believe you're welcome to take communion. When you take communion...